So yeah, like FPSs, what can I say? There's nothing like the rush of hunting people down and killing them. I mean, my heart's beating, my hands are shaking, but I'm still shooting, and I'm still getting the headshots, it's like, boom, headshot, boom, headshot, I'm still getting the headshots, it's like, boom, headshot, boom, headshot, boom, headshot, I'm still getting the headshots, like,
what is up, everyone? Welcome to Boom Headshot, your weekly gaming podcast fix. As always, it's the same geek every week. I'm your host, Jordan Thompson. This is episode number 37, and I'm joined this week by Firecrow of Rise Up Gaming. How you doing, man?
Not too bad at all.
Good to have you here. So, for those listening who have never heard of Rise Up Gaming, what is Rise Up?
Rise Up Gaming is a group of gamers that have gotten together to try and change how gaming communities function. We've all run into, you know, the very toxic, very hostile environment that most competitive gaming communities have. Mm-hmm. And even non-competitive gaming communities these days, because the anonymity of the internet breeds contempt, it seems like.
Yeah, I've run into that far too many occasions than I would like to see on gaming.
Yeah, it happens a lot, unfortunately, and it gets more and more prevalent as time goes on, because everybody thinks that, hey, it's just a player of a game and not a person whose words you might actually, you know, be taking seriously and taking far too, you know, too much to heart, and it affects them. So, you know, we've all stepped together to try and change that and show people that you can play games and be competitive without... and even rage a little bit, you know, there's always going to be that element of rage in competitive gaming. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to be so vicious with it that you're using racial slurs or sexist remarks or completely derogatory comments that could actually be very hurtful to people.
Yeah, instead of trying to tear someone down, just... I would say it makes more sense to be mad at the situation as, oh, crap, I died. I mean... That sucks, but don't go to the extent of berating someone because they did so.
Exactly. You know, if your team loses, well, you know what? Not all players have equal skill. Accept it. You don't have to go and beat somebody up because, you know, hey, oh, we were in a scrim and you completely sucked and, you know, you couldn't even pull a positive KD. And by scrim, I mean scrimmage. Like, I used to be a semi-pro first-person shooter player. Mm-hmm. So I actually had a gaming clan, and we were all pretty good about not beating each other up internally, luckily. But we all had our elements of rage, and you could hear it sometimes with the guys where they would, you know, get really pissed off and say stuff that, you know, they'd regret later.
Yeah, but it's realizing those things and not letting it get the best of you and knowing when you kind of got to step back and go, okay, wait. I need to change something here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's get back into that in just a moment, but I just want to go over the new releases for this week quickly.
Sure.
So for this week, we have a big title that's actually going to be launching at midnight tonight for everyone. It's Monday the 4th right now, but Call of Duty Ghosts for PS3, 360, PC, and Wii U comes out tomorrow. By the time you're listening to this, it'll have been yesterday. That's a huge game. I want to pick it up, but I'm going to hold off till next gen.
I'm as we speak, I just got my order confirmation that I bought it for PC. So
sweet. So you got a few hours to wait, and then you can start playing.
Yeah, exactly. I've got to start getting it preloaded, at least the multiplayer. And it's kind of important because Rise Up has they're doing the race, which for anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's the race to max prestige.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Every Call of Duty, we have this, and who's going to get there first, right?
Exactly, yeah. Which is kind of weird, because you've got certain groups have had access to it all day.
Yeah, you think about that, because, I mean, I'm going to have it technically, or I could have it in an hour and a half, whereas you have to wait, 2.5, 3.5 hours?
Yeah, I actually... it's in a half an hour, actually, for me.
Is it half? Oh, really?
Yeah, because all release dates are Eastern, midnight Eastern time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, for me, if I wanted to go and I got to wait till the midnight launches here, I guess if you're going console, but for PC, I guess different story.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough, fair enough. We've also got Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy for the 3DS.
Now, I don't know much about the DS games because I almost ashamed to say it, but I've only ever owned one Nintendo system, and that was the old, the original.
The NES?
The NES, yeah. I've never bought anything else Nintendo.
Oh, man. You know what? Just from all the games I've played on my 3DS, I think now is the perfect time to pick one up, especially for the holiday season. Pokemon has taken, I think I'm at 60 hours right now. And yeah. I've talked about it for the last three episodes. I can't put it down. I think the only thing that's going to make me stop playing is getting my PS4.
Hmm. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people that are really, really, you know, sucked into it lately. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's some other good titles for the 3DS. I mean, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon was at, like, top of the sales charts for quite a few months earlier this year. But I've yet to pick that one up. I've actually never played a Luigi's Mansion game.
Didn't Elegy just played Luigi Mansion?
He did
for his Nightmare and Elegy.
Yeah, I watched that and it was quite entertaining. I actually am kind of sad that I never played it, but I never owned a GameCube, so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of games that I haven't played. I mean, the last PlayStation that I actually owned, for instance, was the PS1, the original PlayStation.
Yeah.
I never got a PS2 because I went with the Xbox 360.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Right. I was PS2, and then I picked up Xbox when it came out, and I went to PS3 from there. But the 360, I was always like, "Yeah, I'm gonna buy one. I'm gonna buy one." And it just, I've never bought one.
Yeah, I borrowed a PS3 to actually play The Last of Us because I liked the game so much. I was like, "Well, I don't want to buy a PS3 just for this game." But the funny thing is, I'm probably gonna end up buying a PS3 here in the next few days, just because with the PS4 coming out next week, it's they're gonna be rock bottom, and I'll be able to play some of the games that were you know PlayStation only for fairly cheap.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's gonna drop in price, I would imagine, shortly after, if not for the holiday season for PS3s.
From what I understand, like, there's a lot of the stores already have, you know, clearance sales on them. They're, you know, the 160 gigabyte versions are going incredible, or 320 gigabyte versions actually are going incredibly cheaply.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, just to clear them out and make space for the PS4s.
Yeah, because I mean, based on what I've seen at my work, there's going to be a lot of them coming in. I mean, my work actually, I was talking to someone at our head office today, and apparently our shop by phone is completely busy because too many people are calling in to try and pay for either their Xbox Ones or their PS4s. So no one can get any customer service.
Huh.
Which I think is hilarious because, wow, there must be a lot of people wanting to get those paid off and ready to be shipped out. What else do we have? The Wii Sports Club for the Wii U, which I'm guessing is just another addition to the Wii Sports Wii Fit title lineup. We've got the Guided Fate Paradox for the PS3, Final Exam for PS3, 360, and PC, and Ys Memories of Celceta. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but I'm trying.
Wow, you are actually naming games that I haven't even heard of.
I like to go on GameSpot's new games release and see what's coming out for the week. I mean, for most people, it's Ghosts coming out this week. That's really maybe Professor Layton for some people, but otherwise, most of these I honestly haven't heard of. I was like, all right, well, they might be interesting to someone. Someone might want to go and check these out. So,
yeah,
worth giving them a mention.
Always a good idea. Now that you've mentioned some of these, I'll probably go look them up and see if there's anything that seriously interests me. I mean, I'm always looking for more games that I like to play and eventually maybe even stream so that others can get entertainment out of watching me completely screw it up.
I've tried it on occasion. It is a lot of fun. What kind of games are you into?
I do a lot of indie games. I've tried platformers. God, I'm horrible at them for the most part. But I've gotten kind of a reputation lately for zombie survival horror type games.
Okay.
I play a lot of State of Decay. I know the Undead Labs devs. They're here in Seattle, and I live, you know, we're close to where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And so I play a lot of that. I do a lot of like things like 7 Days to Die sometimes. Of course, I did the Last of Us. Anything survivalist. I'm probably getting Nether soon.
Nether, I haven't heard of that one.
It is a new one that just got greenlit on Steam, actually, and it looks fantastic. I mean, people are saying it's what DayZ and WarZ should have been.
Ooh.
And it's, from what I understand, it's 64-man servers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's comparative to what you see with DayZ and WarZ. And you've got to try and survive. Now, they're not zombies in the classic sense of the word.
Okay.
These are mutated humans that have been... There was a huge solar flare that wiped out a lot of the Earth and obviously wiped out all the infrastructure. But it triggered a mutation in a certain percentage of the human race that survived the flare.
Hmm.
And now they're the Nether. They're basically hunting humans, and humans are the minority on the planet.
I'm going to have to check this out because that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it's kind of PvP-ish. There's safe zones that you can go into, and sometimes the devices that they have to clear out the safe zone, the Nether from the safe zone,
mm-hmm.
break down. So you have to go in and reactivate them, so that you can actually use the stores in the safe zone again.
Oh, nice.
And then while you're doing that, you might have opposing players trying to sneak up on you to kill you and steal your stuff.
Oh man, so there's a lot of frantic actions going on at any given point.
Right, yeah. And it's huge. It's hugely explorable. The environment, they've got buildings that are sometimes 20 stories high, and unlike a lot of games where you can't go into buildings that tall,
mm-hmm.
you can in the Nether and explore every floor.
Holy crap.
So, I mean, they've just really fleshed out the game and made things explorable, and, you know, it looks like a cohesive world from everything that I've seen online about it.
Hmm. Any plans for like a launch date? Do they have one in mind right now, or is it still just in development?
Well, it's early access right now. So
is it? Okay.
You can actually buy it for $26 on Steam. No, it's not at all, and get in and start playing it. Now, I've always shied away from early access games because I've bought so many of them that just ended up going nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
Or it takes so long for them to be updated that you're like, God, come on, give us an update on something. So, but this one actually looks like it's got a lot of support from the devs, and they've got a very active community. So the servers always have a good 40 to 50 people on them, all the servers.
Hmm.
So it looks like it's gotten fairly popular fairly quickly.
Yeah, but I mean, by the scale of the game, that definitely seems like a good price for it. I'm going to have to take a look into it and maybe touch on it in a later episode.
Yeah, it's definitely worth investigating, I think.
Cool. So tell me a little bit more about Rise Up. Like, how long have you been a part of it? We'll start there.
I got involved. Rise Up's been around for about a year now, okay. A little bit over. And I've been involved with it since April. They had a big marathon, week-long marathon for Team Ethan, which was a fundraiser for a 70-year-old boy who had Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and of course they had no benefits. The mother had no benefits, really. So we were trying to do everything we can to raise money to help him. And I started off as just a mod for them. I was around the whole time. I was providing information that, you know, the streamers were giving out constantly. So I took a little bit of edit burden off of them by just repeating those answers for the people that were coming in and asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we'll mod them. And then they're, you know, it came around to where they're like, well, you know, we're let people join us all the time to help if they believe in what we believe in. And I do. I mean, I really do believe that, you know, there's the ability to be competitive and play esports competitively without having to have such a lousy community about it. So that's how I got into it. And then just, you know, supporting Rise Up Gaming, doing streaming for them, getting involved. I was offered to do the YouTube content for them from Twitch. And then I did that fairly well. And then suddenly they're like, well, you know what? Rev, Rise Up Rev, who was the owner of the company, he offered me the COO position, which is Chief Operations Officer.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into the upper staff of Rise Up Gaming. And from there, I went to become CEO for quite a while. And finally, he goes, here, you get part of the company now because you've worked so hard on it and I trust you so much. So, I mean, it's been a journey for me as far as growing personally, too, to step away from my tendency to rage at games.
Mm-hmm.
Streaming them has definitely helped me not do that.
Yeah, because obviously I had to put more of a professional aspect when you are streaming, because, I mean, you don't want people just to think you're some kind of tool that is there to yell at the screen and not pay attention to anyone coming in to chat.
Exactly, and that's what I've even taken to not playing competitive or streaming competitive games, I should say. I still play them.
Yeah.
Just because when we're there and we're streaming for our channel, the people who come to our channel to watch, I want to entertain them. I want to engage them, because if you're not engaging them, why would they come back? They're there to be entertained. They're there to talk to you while you're playing a game, watch mm-hmm. you screw it up maybe, or play it super great if you're really that good at a game, and just have fun with it. So, you know, if you're competing, in my views, if you're competing in a game, you're focused more on the game and on the enemy team than you are on your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've said it on many episodes before, and I'll continue to say it. I mean, watching Elegy as my first real dedicated streamer has made me extremely picky to most things on Twitch. And I mean, I really will only watch maybe about 5 or 6 streamers at any given point, just because it's either I'm going to watch a game that I really enjoy, or I'm going for the person who's streaming.
Yeah, exactly. I watch. I myself go out and look for new streamers to see if they're interested in working with us.
Mm-hmm.
To always expand, you know, Rise Up's talent pool. Just because if we have more people who believe as we do, even if they'd never heard of us, right?
Yeah.
That's how OBG got to be our featured streamer of the month. The first time we did that was because I'd watched them for so long, and they were kind of following the example of Rise Up without ever having heard of us. They did it on their own, of their own volition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't allow a lot of the slurs and a lot of the shock words that some of the big Twitch people use a lot of the times.
Yeah, you know? Which is really unfortunate, because, I mean, I appreciate streams where it's all about a positive community and really just kind of getting to know either the people in chat or the streamer themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And now I go out, you know, and watch. I go through a lot through the channels, and I find somebody that's playing a game that I'm interested in
mm-hmm.
that maybe doesn't have, you know, 200, 300 viewers, and see what they're like and see how they interact with their audience. They could only have 5 viewers, and I'm interested to see how well they interact, you know?
Yeah,
because to me, it's not always the amount of viewers that you have. It's how well you deal with them, how well you talk to them and keep them entertained.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of what I do right now. And of course, dealing with companies that are interested in sponsoring us or working with us because of our cause. We do a lot of charity marathons.
Yeah, so for anyone who isn't aware, the marathon you guys just did this past weekend, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about it?
That was for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, for breast cancer awareness, obviously. September or October was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And that was a fairly successful marathon for us, because people were starting their extra stream runs early.
Okay, yeah.
At the same time. But we still managed to pull in over $2,300 for Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
Wow, that's fantastic! Congratulations.
Yeah, that was a good marathon for us, and I think altogether through the so far since I've been involved and before, we've raised I want to say $17,000, almost $18,000 this year.
Wow, That's incredible. And all to a lot of different causes, obviously.
Yeah, we do a different charity each month. Like next month, or this coming month, I should say, is going to be for the Wounded Warrior program. So,
Wounded Warrior?
Yep.
I'm not familiar.
Wounded Warrior deals with veterans from, you know, the Gulf War, the war in Afghan and Iraq. I'm sorry, that have been wounded and have disabilities now or have health issues because of their service.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of good work. Like if there's a vet that needs a computer because that's how he relaxes or that's how he works now is from home on a computer or whatnot, they go out and help. They'll get them a computer to use. It's a really worthy program for all those vets who have served their country and now have to kind of live with the let's face it, there's consequences sometimes to serving your country and being a patriot and doing what you want. Mm-hmm. I was in the Navy for 6 years. I got out just at the beginning of the original Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm dating myself a bit. I'm 48 years old. So,
really?
And Rise Up Gaming has a few other vets and people who have had family that were vets. So it's kind of a cause that's close to all of us.
That's awesome. I mean, it's always good to really show the spectrum of the gaming community, and it's not just for kids, because I found that a lot lately is a lot of people still have this this idea that gaming is for children, when really it's mostly, I think, a 35 to... or 30 to 40 range is the average age of gamers nowadays?
I would probably broaden that a little bit because there's a good base in the 20s too.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know gamers who are in their 60s and 70s that are still gamers. I mean, full on, they play everything that anybody else might play, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to see that kind of that idea kind of dissipate and go away as time goes on, which I think it will. It's going to take time.
Yeah, everybody gets this image of, oh, you must be a kid because you're playing games, you know. And I'm a professional. I'm a professional software consultant, or test consultant. So when you start talking about things you do for your hobbies, like, you know, to me, to a lot of people, Rise Up Gaming is a hobby. Because I don't make money off it. Well, I don't do it for money. I do it, you know, to get the message out there and help support charities. But the gaming is like, they look at you like, really? You play computer games? I'm like, yeah.
Why wouldn't
it's
I?
It's fun. It's relaxing. It's, you know, it's a way to get your mind off of programming and running tests all the time, if that's what you do, or any other, you know, real life situations you want to just relax from. It's a good way to get into a fantasy world and run around and do stuff that you can't do in the real world.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I have a stressful day at work. I come home and relax, have a drink and play some games and just chill. Cause I mean, there's those days where you really just need to let it out in some format, whether it be playing games or watching a movie. It's different for everyone, obviously, but we all need that one thing.
Yeah, exactly. We all need something. I mean, then it's not all I do, obviously. I do things like whitewater raft. Mm-hmm. You know, I do a lot of outdoor activities. I hang out with friends and play the uber geek way to relax, playing Magic the Gathering sometimes. Like,
nice.
Usually on Mondays, I might go over to a buddy's house and we have, you know, five or six of us that all show up and we play Magic the Gathering, things like that.
I've tried Magic. I get way too stressed about it. I can't handle it. I also made the mistake of playing with my girlfriend, though. That was probably a bad idea. We're both very competitive people, so that ended fairly poorly. I'm just like, I'm just going to stop because this is not going to end well. Let's leave it.
Well, you know, that's the nature of the game, though. They're competitive.
I know.
You should have fun with that and have a little bit of friendly, you know, smack talking between the two of you as you play. Oh, yeah, you got me.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, smack talk is one thing that has created such a toxic environment in a lot of online gaming, and I think, like you said before, has become more prevalent as the years have gone on, because, I mean, you jump onto Xbox Live and go into, I really hate to use this as the example, but it's the perfect place to find it, is in either Battlefield or Call of Duty. I mean, it's constantly racial slurs, derogatory terms, sexual harassment if it's a girl in there. It's just, I hate hearing it. I have to mute everyone 9 times out of 10 because I just, it's irritating.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're definitely right. They are largely touted as some of the worst gaming communities out there for those very reasons. But then you have, I mean, at the same time, you've got communities like League of Legends and Dota 2 who are incredibly toxic in their own right and in their own way.
I've heard about that. I've never actually really – I've never watched any LOL streams or Dota streams, so, and I've never really played, so I've never encountered that. How bad is it?
It is pretty bad, especially when you start getting into doing ranked games to get up into the real competitive scene.
Yeah.
There's a lot that that gets said, and people don't care what they're saying. They don't care. They don't think about it. You know, to them, it's perfectly natural to call somebody, you know, a homophobic slur, for instance. And
yeah,
but what if the person actually is?
Yeah, then you've taken a shot at their lifestyle, and maybe they've dealt with that all their life, and they go into games to get away from that. But now you're just perpetuating what they've dealt with, maybe in school or through other people in real life.
Yeah, yeah. And realistically speaking, we're against bullying and harassment and discrimination in all forms, even not just in gaming communities, but in life. I mean, we try to promote acceptance and you know, open mindedness a bit more. It's let people live their life.
Yeah.
Don't judge them. Don't hate them for it. You know, there's no reason to.
No, because, I mean, really, how is their life causing you any harm? Why do you need to take fire at how they like to live their life? I mean, I've dealt with that issue in my life because family members of mine don't live the same lifestyle that everyone else does. So having to go through high school dealing with that, people can be extremely, extremely cruel.
Yeah. You know, I hate saying stuff like this, but back in my day in the Navy, you know, it was pre even the don't ask, don't tell rule, right? And I had friends that, you know, you privately know that they're homosexual, and it never bothered me because they understood there was a line. It wasn't my thing, you know, and it was their thing, and that's fine for them. But so as long as, you know, it wasn't thrust in my face or I wasn't constantly being, you know, dealt with like trying to say, well, what you should try, you might like it type stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I was fine with however they wanted to live their style. But back then you couldn't openly say anything. I mean, there was a reason they called it coming out of the closet, for God's sakes. Because it was literally the skeleton in your closet.
Yeah, you had to hide it. I mean, I've heard stories where it's not like it is today. You couldn't say anything. You'd be shamed for it. And I mean, at this point, it's baffling to me, but I mean, that was a reality for a lot of people.
Exactly. It's just a symptom, and the thing is, it's gotten less common to have that. But at the same time, look at what's happening in Russia right now, for instance. Okay, they've actually outlawed being homosexual.
Yeah, like that doesn't comprehend to me. I can't imagine
living. Well, it's threatening the Olympics that they had slated to be held over there right now. I mean, Coca-Cola is thinking about pulling sponsorship from the Olympics because of that, right?
I don't blame them.
And they're a huge sponsor for the Olympics. I think we're one of the countries talking about not sending over athletes this year.
Wow.
Because of that. Well, because Russia won't ensure anybody's safety.
No, yeah. And were they not arresting people who were either wearing a pride flag or
They were arresting people for just being suspected of being homosexual.
Really?
They were letting people torture and kill homosexuals, for God's sakes.
Wow.
And they've got people with videos out there of them torturing these people who they don't even have any proof that they were. Oh. And getting away with it.
It's just...
So, I mean, it's just, you know, America has its problems with that in some areas. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not universal acceptance.
Yeah.
But I can honestly say that we'll never get that bad, I don't believe, ever.
No, I couldn't imagine. So, I mean, there's too much of... There'd be too much of an outrage and an uprising about that.
Yeah. It's and, you know, it's just, I don't understand how you could outlaw something like that. It's not, just like you said, I can't comprehend the reasoning behind it. And all it's doing is ostracizing Russia right now. I mean, there are a lot of countries out there who are like, what, you know,
like, what are you doing? I mean, it doesn't make sense. But to kind of bring it back to gaming a little bit, the how people just think it's okay to say some of the things that would be that are homophobic, and I just, it's something that people need to really think about what they're saying and try to get away from using it. I mean, I'm very open as far as what can be said on this show. As far as swearing goes, I'm okay with that. But you cannot say any homophobic words. I will not accept that on my show.
Yeah.
Racial slurs, like it's there's a line for tact, and I mean swearing can have its own place, but I don't think racial slurs or homophobic slurs or sexual harassment, anything like that, has its place. I think it should be left to the side, and you should find ways to improve your vocabulary so that you can find different ways to express yourself instead of having to resort to that.
Yeah, there's only one reason to use language like that, and that's to cause pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or cause somebody to feel ashamed, or you know, deliver a blow to their ego or their who they are. And it's just to be mean. There's no legitimate reason to use the words that people use these days to slur anybody.
No, it's but people have that veil, like you said, of anonymity to say whatever they please and feel no shame and no repercussions for it.
Exactly.
Because who's going to stop them, right?
Yep. Well, that's the thing. Who is going to stop them?
I mean, you're going to get banned from a forum. Well, just go make another account. You're going to get timed out from a chat. Well, I guess I can go make another account too and come back and say these things. A lot of the times I don't understand why people are so determined to do so.
Because they have somewhat empty lives themselves for the most part. Mm-hmm. I find that most people who are the worst with this are really unhappy themselves, and so they lash out, you know. Yeah. Or they think it makes them cool.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I went through high school and people did that thinking that it was the cool thing to do, and it's just, you look back and you're like, no, a lot of you people weren't cool, but somehow you were given this title.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a time when I was, you know, bullied back in school. I was mm-hmm. a 90-pound freaking science geek, math geek, you know. I changed that, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. The fact that it did happen. I had a gang of like 8 kids that was basically terrorizing me to the point where I didn't go to classes. I would, you know, forge teacher's notes so I could hide out and avoid those classes.
Yeah.
And the school was like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. When my dad confronted him about it, he was like, really? There should be.
Yeah. I mean, why should someone's life be, constantly harassed for no good reason, and nothing can be done about it?
No, and that's why it's done, because those kids know there aren't going to be any repercussions to them.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, things are starting to change towards that. You see a lot more anti-bullying and anti-harassment, anti-discrimination movements out there. And the funny thing is, you know who's really focusing on it more and more? The gamers.
Yeah. I mean, so, because that's one thing that I really like to, I mean, I don't want to use the word preach, but I like to spread the idea of being unified as a community. Let's not berate and degrade our fellow gamers. Let's unite and really show everyone that we're not the impression that people have of us. We aren't some stereotype. We're everyone.
Exactly. I mean, you can't label all gamers by, oh, well, you're some kid who lives in his mom's basement and doesn't do anything but plays games all day long.
Yeah, you sit there and you eat Cheetos not anymore. And have soda all the time.
Not anymore. It's you know, these are people who now who have real lives, real social lives, who are successful in whatever they're doing personally for the most part. And they aren't what you picture them to be.
Yeah.
And so now that they're becoming more more active and advocates in their own way to opening up people's minds and social change, as it were, you know, people are starting to realize there's a wider, you can't stereotype anybody like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
It's too broad at this point to fit anyone into one category.
Pretty much, yeah. It's the world is changing every day around us, and computers are such a huge part of it, and from everything, from social media to business to a means of just communicating with your friends across the world. You know, it's look at us right now, right? I live in Seattle.
Yeah.
You live on the East Coast, don't you?
I'm actually central, so I'm in Manitoba in Canada.
Ah, okay. You live in Manitoba, Canada. Okay.
Yeah.
But still, right? We're across country from each other.
Yeah.
And we're having a conversation like, you know, we're right next door, basically.
Exactly.
So all of this helps to broaden minds and get messages out there faster. And I think the time is coming when you're going to see a lot more acceptance and a lot less of the hate and the bigotry and the discrimination that goes on or went on throughout the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last, 45, 50 years alone in the U.S. has changed civil rights so much.
Yeah, it's you wouldn't have expected to see that kind of a drastic change in relatively a short period of time.
Exactly. And a lot of that has to do with technology and how it can help get the word out and get the message out and show people how they can be and not what they think they have to be to get by.
So, since you've been with Rise Up, what kind of changes have you seen? Like, do you see people change online, say through Twitch or through social media? Do you hear any stories like that?
We actually have a few in Rise Up. We've got a few people that used to be really hardcore ragers, and you know, like one of our guys had been suspended from League of Legends 12 times, was on the verge of becoming permanently banned.
Wow.
For being what we stand against. And now he's actually helping us run Rise Up and a very responsible member and a gamer, you know. He's learned a lot through the year. Mm-hmm. So I see that very much even on a personal level. I mean, like I said, when I wasn't involved, I had my rage. I had a lot of rage towards games.
Yeah.
A lot of rage towards games sometimes. I mean, I would swear and cuss up a storm, and I would say things that I would later go, why did you say something like that? You know? But, you know, you grow and you learn, and you learn to understand that you don't have to get mad. I don't let games get me mad anymore. And it's kind of funny because the people who watch me stream, they're waiting for the day when they get to see me rage at a game, and it just won't ever happen.
It's not going to happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, I'm the same way. I used to be huge into raging. I mean, even up until, earlier this year, there was a point, and it was shortly after God of War Ascension, I think that was the newest one that came out. I can't remember, it was really bad. And those games generally tend to make me rage just because of the difficulty at points. And that game got me to a point where I'm sitting there, I've got the chair in front of the TV, and my girlfriend's sitting off to the side, and she's on the laptop, and I start raging, and when I finally stop, and I look over at her, and she's got this kind of look like, are you okay? And I'm just like, I put it down, and I turn the game off. I'm like, I need to not play this. It scared me. I was like, the look in her eyes, all I did was yell at the controller and the TV, but it was just like, I need to take a step back and go, this really isn't doing anything productive. And I ended up coming back to the game probably about a month later, and oh look, calm and collective, I managed to get through it no problem. Just really, I've realized that rage gaming just isn't productive for me at all, because I don't have a clear head, I can't think straight, and therefore I'm not going to find the best way to either kill a boss or get to the next objective, etc., etc.
Exactly. And the more you get frustrated with the game and the more you get pissed off at it, guess what? The worse you're going to be playing it.
And it's just a downward spiral until you break a controller or something.
Or your computer.
I've heard stories of that as well.
I've heard stories of people smashing their laptops. And it's like, Really? Really? You can smash a $500, $600 piece of equipment because you got mad at a game?
It seems so juvenile and stupid. I don't understand it anymore. I mean, I almost feel like it's... I need a chip for it. I've been so many months without raging at a game. And you know what? That's something I actually feel proud of.
It is indeed.
I don't think enough people give credit to that. I mean, some people will just laugh it off like, aha, you didn't get mad at a game. But no, it's a good thing to not be able to not have to do that.
It's something to have a point of pride in, you know? Games are there to help us relax. They're there to have fun with. If they're frustrating you, guess what? Step away. Mm-hmm. Because obviously at that point, you're not having fun anymore.
No, it's just...
I mean, we all laugh at, like, you know, take LG for example. He has his rage tages, you know, his montages.
Yeah.
And, you know, but even then you can see he's actually enjoying it.
He's just having fun.
Like, yeah. But it's just, you know, the reactions he gets, it's like, oh, no, type stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of no. I was watching his Super September video yesterday, and there was a lot of no's every time he died.
Yep.
And it got me laughing, because I thought that was hilarious. Because, you know, he's not legitimately upset. Maybe he is a little bit, but for the most part, he's there to put on a show. So, I mean, death just kind of comes with the territory when you're playing games.
Exactly, and that exactly right. You just put on a show. When I streamed The Last of Us, mm-hmm. I had 168 deaths in my Survivor run.
Oh, man.
Wow. 168 deaths. And I was laughing through all of them because it was just ridiculous how I would die in some of those situations. And it's, what are you going to do? You're going to laugh. And the people ate it up because they're like, you know, why isn't he getting mad? Why? Yeah. And it's like, why would I? It's hilarious. I die in a stupid way. I derped it up.
These things happen. I mean, now I'm gonna learn from it, and hopefully you don't derp it up again. If you do, well, then people have even more reason to laugh.
Exactly. Yep.
But I think it's a lot of not taking it so seriously. I think that's gonna really help provide a better community.
Yeah. I think the example that's being set by a lot of the streamers these days, if you go to a lot of the streamers these days, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. And that, I wouldn't say necessarily a lot of the big names, but some of them are the same way we are. But you'll see the up-and-coming streamers that are gaining steadily, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 followers.
Yeah.
You see an attitude now of, you know, this is how you should be.
Yeah.
You know, you see this calm, you know, reasoning person failing at a game and trying again, and not getting mad and not throwing a temper tantrum, and that's how it should be.
Absolutely. You
know? And it's like I said, it's getting bigger and bigger. The movement's getting bigger and bigger. And it's one of my biggest hopes for Rise Up Gaming that we have a big part in showing people that how to present themselves as gamers these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love the fact that the more I go on Twitch and the more streamers I check out, it's always in their rules. No sexual derogatory terms and no racial slurs.
No hate speech.
Be a good person. Just treat others like you want to be treated. And I mean, obviously you get those few trolls here and there, but you time them out, you ban them, and problem solved. I mean, for the most part, being in both LG and OBG's chats, I've met some awesome people in there, and I've become really good friends with some of them.
Yeah. I like to think I'm friends with OBG guys. I like to think I'm friends with getting to be better friends with LG. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what it's about, is building the community.
Yeah, I mean,
we're all gamers, and we all have fun doing things. And maybe we don't all like the same games, but you know what?
That's okay.
That's fine.
Maybe we don't play on the same console. That's fine. You don't have to bring someone down because they're playing on PS4, but you really like Xbox One, or you like Wii U and someone else likes PC.
I don't even allow console wars to start. It's like, you know what? People are going to buy what they want to buy.
Absolutely.
And they're going to enjoy what they buy.
And,
you know,
I think we should be more grateful for what we're able to enjoy and how we choose to enjoy it, rather than, oh, well, he's playing it on this system, therefore he is inferior.
Indeed. Yeah.
I don't understand the sensibility in quote unquote console wars. I used to get very heated debates like PS2 generation, but I've just realized that they're silly and they really prove nothing than trying to make yourself seem like the bigger person.
Exactly. Especially when PCs are superior in every way.
And there we go. Line is drawn. PC Master Race. Oh man. But no PC Master Race. Well, this has been an awesome discussion. Is there anything that you'd like to add in?
You know what? I've had a great time. I was not going to lie. I was a little nervous coming in because I've never done a podcast before. I've never done any kind of real interview before.
Everyone's nervous. It always happens.
It was a great time. You know, anytime you want me to come back, I'll be more than happy to.
Absolutely. I'd like to get more from Rise Up on here as well.
Yeah, that can definitely be arranged. I mean, we're always open for, getting our people out there and getting the message out. Feel free to stop by our channel on Twitch. It's, you know, Rise Up Gaming with a Z. And see us practice what we preach.
Absolutely. So where else can people find you besides Twitch?
We have a website. It's riseupgaming.com. Again, Rise Up, RIZE. We did that for a reason, though it escapes me at the moment, because it was Rev's reasoning. And sometimes even I don't understand Rev's reasoning.
Well, we can get Rev on one day, and he can explain the Z to us.
Oh, that will be an adventure for you, indeed.
So. I've watched Rev on one of OBG's streams on your channel when they were giving things away, and it was quite entertaining, I must say.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and you know, like I said, you can find us there. You can find me on Twitter at @firecrow_LG, and you can find us at @RiseUpGaming, and follow us there, because awesome. We'll always announce when we're doing marathons. We'll always announce when we're doing big streams of anything.
Yeah, I'll be sure to link all of this on the page when I post the episode up. But thank you again for coming on. This was a treat. It was really a diverse episode. It was one of those. I've had a lot of very, very good episodes lately, and I don't want to take anything away from them, but I like the more serious tone I got with this episode. It was a nice change of pace, so thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I don't often get to preach and explained my views on a lot of things sometimes. Yeah. So it was a treat for me too.
Yeah, you guys have such a great belief system, and I really appreciate that. So if I can even get the word out to 10 people, I would be more than happy. So everyone, please go take a look over at Rise Up's page and check them out on Twitch. They've always got a lot of good streamers and a very diverse group of people. And I think we'll call it a wrap for this week.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, be sure to hit me up on Twitter. It's at boom underscore headshot, HEADSH0T. Almost screwed that up. And check out everything Boom at boomheadshotpod.com. Don't forget to like on Facebook. You can find me on Stitcher, iTunes. You can find it all on the website. Go check it out. And for this week, I'm Jordan Thompson. Thanks again, Firecrow, for coming by and joining me.
It was indeed a pleasure, sir.
Till next week, guys. Keep those sights lined and keep making those headshots.
I'm the king of the ring when I'm in the arena, 'cause I'm beating everybody like when Ike beat Tina. I can throw down with the campus mentality. The gloves putting stops to your whole camp's reality. Sticky bombs flying all over the place. If I find your body, you know I'm humping your face. Duck walking with my heavy machine gun. The words on your screen, you were killed by Z1. Yeah, come and run my direction. I don't give a damn if you got double protection. It's a fatal attraction. I'm white fatality, place quake and not red faction. Posted on a rock, sniper rifle in hand. Your forehead's in sight, all according to plan. Breathe wrong, homie, and you might get caught. Everybody in the room's gonna hear what I got, 'cause it's a boom and shot, boom and shot. Stalled in the box like boom and shot, boom and shot, boom and shot. Stalled in the box like boom and shot, boom and shot, boom and shot. Stalled in the box like boom and shot, boom and shot, boom and shot. Stalled in the box like boom and shot. Stuck around your area, becoming so nefarious. It's necessary to be wary, you should be afraid of us. Gotcha in the sights of my rifle scope. Better take a look around before your head explodes. Taking the show on the road, see the victims light up. Better watch where you go, or your mic can shot up. Better pack your grenades if you step into us. A frantic creature with a body, see them piling up. I take a real sick pleasure out of watching them fall. Rockets and grenades, I shot a free-for-all. About to whip out my sickness, get my opinion. Climb up to the top and start snapping at your best friend. It takes 10 men to stop me, here I'm coming. In the battle mode, I keep on running and gunning. Zealous and be fair, y'all better be scared. Don't care if you respond, I still be caving out to be there with a boom and shot, boom and shot. Stalled in the box like boom and shot, boom and shot, boom and shot. Stalled in the box.
Hit your 9-3 chumps in the line.
Wait, I'm low on ammo, but I still got my 9. Need to reach a high level for I'm truly effective.
Killing off pros and noobs, non-selective.
True that, yeah, okay, I'm ready to go.
Sticky bombs in my hand, pop tops and throw. Yo, my railgun's tracking everyone in my sector.
Hey, yo, I'm in position, let me give you the vector.
The coordinates match with the blips on my map.
Word to that, okay, let's set up this track. Selling noobs in to be like bait.
Brain matter will splatter, all according to fate.
Yeah. There's no doubt, look like they found my landmine.
It's all good, now I got my snipe sights lined. This is easy like aiming at Tyra Banks.
Making shots so accurate, they're taking down tanks.
Boom and shot, boom and shot. Stalled in the box like boom and shot, boom and shot, boom and shot. Stalled in the box.
Zealous one. Uh-oh. Turn around. Whoops. Too late.